بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. غفر الله لنا ولشيخنا وللمستمعين والمسلمين. يقول الشيخ الإسلام رحمه الله تعالى في كتابه العقيدة الواسطية: والصراط منصوب على متن جهنم وهو الجسر الذي بين الجنة والنار، يمر الناس عليه على قدر أعمالهم، فمنهم من يمر كاللمح البصر، ومنهم من يمر كالبرق، ومنهم من يمر كالريح، ومنهم من يمر كالفرس الجواد، ومنهم من يمر كالركاب الإبل، ومنهم من يعدو عدوا، ومنهم من يمشي مشيا، ومنهم من يزحف زحفا، ومنهم من يخطف خطفا، ويلقى في جهنم، فإن الجسر عليه كلاليب تقطف الناس بأعمالهم. فمن مر على الصراط دخل الجنة، فإذا عبروا عليه وقفوا على قنطرة بين الجنة والنار، فيقتص ببعضهم من بعض، فإذا خذبوا ونقوا أذن لهم في دخول الجنة. وأول من يستفتح باب الجنة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأول من يدخل الجنة من الأمم أمته، وله صلى الله عليه وسلم في القيامة ثلاث شفاعات. أما الشفاعة الأولى فيشفع في أهل الموقف حتى يقضى بينهم بعد أن يتراجع أنبياء آدم ونوح وإبراهيم وموسى وعيسى بن مريم عن الشفاعة حتى تنتهي إليه. وأما الشفاعة الثانية فيشفع في أهل الجنة أن يدخلوا الجنة، وهاتان شفاعتان خاصتان له. وأما الشفاعة الثالثة فيشفع في من استحق النار، وهذه الشفاعة له ولسائر النبيين والصديقين وغيرهم، فيشفع في من استحق النار ألا يدخلها، ويشفع في من دخلها أن يخرج منها، ويخرج الله من النار أقواما بغير شفاعة بل بفضله ورحمته، ويبقى في الجنة فضل عمن دخلها من أهل الدنيا، فينشئ الله لها أقواما فيدخلهم الجنة. وأصناف ما تدمنته الدار الآخرة من الحساب والثواب والعقاب والجنة والنار، وتفاصيل ذلك مذكور في الكتب المنزلة من السماء والآثار من العلم المعثور عن الأنبياء، وفي العلم المورود عن محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، من ذلك ما يشفي ويقفي، فمن ابتغاءه وجد.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير، ونشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله وخليله ورسوله، أرسله الله جل وعلا رحمة للعباد، فبلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح للأمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده، صلوات الله وسلامه عليه ورضوانه جل وعلا على صحابة محمد الذين آمنوا به وهاجروا معه وإليه وجاهدوا معه وبعده، وأرخصوا أهلهم وديارهم وأموالهم لاتباعه والسير معه، فاللهم ارض عنهم واجعلنا جميعا ممن قلت فيهم والذين جاءوا من بعدهم يقولون ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا، اللهم اجعلنا من هؤلاء يا حي يا قيوم. مبدأ حديثنا الليلة فيما يتعلق بالصراط. يقول شيخ الإسلام أحمد بن عبد الحليم بن تيمية رحمة الله عليه: والصراط منصوب على متن جهنم، وهو الجسر الذي بين الجنة والنار، يمر الناس عليه على قدر أعمالهم. هذا الجسر لا بد من المسير عليه من مرحوم ومعاقب، فنسأل الله أن يجعلنا جميعا من المرحومين. يقول: يمر الناس عليه على قدر أعمالهم. أهل التقوى والإنابة الصادقون مع الله جل وعلا يمرون مرا سريعا كلمح البصر، ولمح البصر أسرع من الضوء، ومن بعدهم يمر كالبرق، كالبرق الذي يشاعل، ومنهم من يمر كالريح، الريح العاصفة تمشي بسرعة، ومنهم من يمر كالفرس الجواد، ومنهم من يمر كركاب الإبل، ومنهم من يعدو عدوا، ومنهم من يمشي مشيا، ومنهم من يزحف زحفا. إلى هنا فيهم رجاء، ومنهم من يخطف خطفا ويلقى في جهنم، فإن الجسر عليه كلاليب تخطف الناس لأعمالهم. والنبي ذكر صلى الله عليه وسلم هذه الكلاليب، وذكر أنها مثل شوك السعدان، نوع من النبات البري، شوكه في شيء شبه مستدير، إذا انطبق قسم على قسم لا يستطيع أن يفلت من وقع فيه. والسعدان من النبات البرية، وهو من أفضل مراعي الإبل، وهو الذي يقول في المثل: مرعى ولا كالسعدان. مدح مرعى بأنه جيد، فهو جيد لكنه ليس كالسعدان. النبي ذكر لما قال هذه الكلاليب مثل شوك السعدان، ثم قال لأصحابه: هل رأى منكم أحد السعدان؟ فقال الذين هم من أهل البرية والفياقي: نعم رأيناه يا رسول الله. هذه الكلاليب من الجانبين مثل نوع الشوك السعدان، إذا انطلقت يقول هذه تخطف الناس بأعمالهم. السابقون لهم وزن، يمرون النار لا بد من المرور عليها، وقد قال الله: وإن منكم إلا واردها. على هذا الصراط الجسر، ثم إن الجسر مزلة، يعني زلق زلج. يقول الشيخ الإسلام: فمن مر على الصراط، يعني استكمل المرور عليه، دخل الجنة. فإذا عبروا جميع من هم سيدخلون الجنة، بعدما يعبرون الصراط يقفون في مكان متسع على خنطرة بين الجنة والنار. في هذا الموقع، موقع الاقتصاص، يؤخذ للمظلوم من الظالم، وفيهم حديث المفلس الذي مر علينا في إحدى الليالي وقال الذي ما تعدون مفلس؟ قال المفلس من لا درهم عنده ولا متاع. قال المفلس من أمتي الذي له أعمال كثيرة ولكنه لا يتحاشى من ظلم الناس بلسانه ويده وسأخذ أموالهم ظالما لهم في العرض تنتهك أعراضهم يضربهم يدميهم يقتل يأخذ المال يقول فيؤخذ في ذلك الموقف قبل تجاوزه يؤخذ من حسنات هذا المفلس ويعطى غرماءه لأن في ذلك الموقف لا ظلم والحكم الله والعباد إذا أنكروا يختموا على أفواههم وتتكلم أيديهم وأرجلهم وجميع أعضائهم حتى الجلود. إذا اقتص من للظالم من للمظلوم من الظالم وانتهوا من كان معاله للجنة يتوجه إلى الجنة. فإذا هذبوا ونقوا يعني أخذ مع ما أخذ من حسنات المحسنين الذين يحسنون ويسيئون واحدهم يعمل عملا صالحا وآخر سيئا إذا كان السوء بينه وبين ربه جل وعلا فهذا موكول إلى عفو الله. وأما حقوق العباد فلا يسقط منها شيء كما قال ذلك الرجل للنبي أرأيت أنا قاتلت في سبيل الله حتى قتلت أدخل الجنة؟ قال نعم. فلما أدبر الرجل ناداه النبي قال كيف قلت؟ فأعاد مقولته فقال نعم إلا الدين إلا حقوق البشر لا تخفرها حتى الشهادة في سبيل الله. قال إلا الدين فإنه أخبرني به جبريل آنفا. فهذه حقوق مالية وحقوق العرض أن ينتهي خلاف الواحد وعرض الآخر الاعتداد الضرب أو التدميه يدميه أو بالقتل كل هذه يقتص من الشخص. ويوم القيامة ما في قتل أحد لكن سحب حسنات فإن كفت حسناته المفلس نظر في أمره فيما بعد وإن فنيت حسناته وقد بقي عليه ديون يؤخذ من سيئات الآخرين ويطرح عليه ثم يطرح في نار جهنم نسأل الله العافية. يقول إذا هذبوا ونقوا وأذن لهم بدخول الجنة في ذلك تلك اللحظة يتبين الفرح من أول من يستفتح باب الجنة؟ محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول وأول من يستفتح باب الجنة محمد وأول من يدخل الجنة من الأمم أمة محمد. النبي قال صلى الله عليه وسلم نحن الآخرون يعني في الدنيا الأولون يوم القيامة فنحن الأولون غير أنهم أوتوا الكتاب يعني اليهود والنصارى قبلنا. ثم يذكر شيخ الإسلام باختصار ما للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من الشفاعات له ثلاث شفاعات واحدة للخلق أجمعين في الموقف يقف الناس يوم القيامة في مكان واسع وتدر الناس الشمس من رؤوسهم فيسيل عرفهم وبقدرة الله جل وعلا لا يسيل عرق أحد على أحد، بل يجتمع عرق كل واحد حوله. فمنهم من يلجم العرق يصل إلى فمه، ومنهم من يكون إلى التراقي ترقوة تحت الرقبة، ومنهم دون ذلك. في هذا الموقف اللي يقف الخلق كلهم مؤمنهم وكافرهم، من سيدخل الجنة ومن سيدخل النار، كلهم في موقف واحد. فإذا مضت عليهم مدة طويلة، اليوم في 1000 سنة، فزعوا من شدة الكرب، فيأتون إلى آدم عليه السلام أبو البشر، فيقولون: يا آدم، أنت أبو البشر، خلقك الله بيده وأسجد لك ملائكته، وقبل توبتك، ترى ما نحن فيه، اشفع لنا عند ربك. فيقول: لا، أنا عصيت الله وأكلت من الشجرة، اذهبوا إلى غيري، اذهبوا إلى نوح. ونوح هو الأب الثاني، بعدما حرك قومه ما بقيت إلا ذرية نوح، وجعلنا ذريته هم الباقون. فيأتون إلى نوح عليه السلام ويشكون لهم ما نالهم من الضنك والضيق والعنى، ويطلبون منه الشفاعة، فيعتذر ويقول: ما أنا لها، أنا دعوت دعوة أهلك الله بها البشر، اذهبوا إلى إبراهيم أبو الأنبياء. فينتقلون إلى إبراهيم عليه السلام ويطلبون منه الشفاعة، فيعتذر ويقول: إني كذبت 3 كذبات، لا أستطيع أن أشفع. ما هي الكذبات 3؟ هذه الكذبات 3 قال لقومه لما خرجوا الفرح: إني سقيم مريض، تركوا غرائب قعب ماذا مريض يبقى. لما جاء إلى الأصنام وعندها الطعام قال لهم: ألا تأكلون؟ ثم كسرهم. ولما جاءوا يسألونه قالوا: من فعل هذا؟ قال: كبيرهم، الصنم الكبير، كما قص الله في القرآن. والكذبة الثالثة لما نزل إلى أرض وكان فيها ملك جبار لا يدخل بلده امرأة إلا وتؤتى بها إليه، إن كان الذي معها زوجها قتله، وإن كان أخوها أو أبوها لم يقتل. جاء إبراهيم معه زوجته سارة، فقيل: ما هذا؟ قال: أختي. فطلبت، فقال لها: إنني قلت إنك أختي، وليس في الدنيا مؤمن غيري وغيرك، لا تكذبيني. هذه الكذبة الثالثة التي قال اعتذر عنها. والقصة معروفة والحديث في صحيح البخاري فيما يتعلق بالكذبة وما يتعلق بالرجل الجبار، وفي غير البخاري أنه ملك مصر أيضا في الحديث. ثم حصل لما أراد أن يمد يده عليها صرع، فلما رفس خافت أن يموت، فيظن أنه أنها قتلته، فدعت الله فك عنه، فهم ثانية فصرع. فلما انصرع خافت أن يقال هي القاتلة له، ثم دعت الله فك عنه. ثم قال الثالثة هم فانصر فأعذر، قال: ما جئتوني بإنسان، جئتوني بشيطان. ثم قال: هذه ما يصلح أن تخدم نفسها، وأهداها جارية واسمها هاجر وهي أم إسماعيل عليه السلام. فرجعت سارة وإذا بإبراهيم عليه السلام يصلي، فأشر له يعني كيف الذي حصل، فقالت: أخذ الله الكافر وأخدم خادما. ثم أهدت الجارية. فإبراهيم اعتذر أيضا بأنه حصل منه كذا وكذا. فيأتون إلى موسى عليه السلام فيعتذر ويقول عن نفسه وقتله لذلك القبطي الذي فوكزه موسى فقضى عليه، ويعتذر. ويأتون إلى عيسى فلا يذكر كذبه وإنما يقول: أن لست لها. يذهب إلى محمد نبي غفر الله ما تقدم من ذنبه وما تأخر، فيأتون إلى رسول الله فيقول لهم: أنا لها. ثم يتقدم ويسجد تحت العرش، يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: فيفتح علي من المحامد والثناء على الله شيء لا أذكره وأنا في الدنيا. فإذا حتى يقال فيقال: ارفع رأسك وقل اسمع واشفع تشفع، فيشفع بأهل الموقف، وهذه الشفاعة الأولى الكبرى. ويشفع الثانية لأهل الجنة ليفتح الباب لهم. هذه الشفاعتان، هاتان الشفاعتان اختص بها نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم، بهما نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم، وهي العموم: الأولى للبشر أجمعين، والثانية لأهل الجنة. وأما الشفاعة الثالثة فيشفع في من استحق النار، له ذنوب وسيئات فيشفع. والشفاعات لا يشفع نبينا ولا أي نبي ولا أي شافع لأحد إلا إذا رضي الله عن المشفوع وأذن للشافع، كما قال: ولا يشفعون إلا لمن ارتضى. يقول: وهذه الشفاعة للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ولسائر النبيين والصديقين وغيرهم، فيشفع في من استحق النار أن لا يدخلها، ويشفع في من دخلها أن يخرج منها. هذه الشفاعات التي للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، يشفع للناس دخلوا فيخرجون. ثم يخرج الله جل وعلا من النار أقواما غير هؤلاء. الله جل وعلا يقول في كتابه الكريم: إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. الله يكرم الشافع ويأذن له بالشفاعة لمن أراد الله جل وعلا أن يخرجه من النار أو يصرفه عنها. وكل شيء بقضاء الله جل وعلا وقدره. النار وعدت بأن تملى، وكلما ألقي فيها فوج تقول: هل من مزيد؟ لا تزال في تلهف وطلب حنقا منها على الظالمين، حتى يضع عليها رب العزة جل وعلا قدمه فينزوي بعضها إلى بعض، فتقول: قطن قطن يا إيم ثلاث ثلاث. وأما فيما يتعلق بالدار الآخرة، يقول: وأصناف ما تضمنت بالدار الآخرة من الحساب والثواب والعقاب والجنة والنار. يقول: تفصيل ذلك مذكور في الكتب المنزلة، المنزلة من عند الله جل وعلا على أنبيائه ورسله، كصحف إبراهيم وكالتوراة والإنجيل وزبور داود وما أوحى الله به إلى الأنبياء قبل محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وما تضمنه القرآن والحكمة النبوية التي هي من عند الله، وفيها لا شك الخير الكثير. والله أعلم على القدر.
Sheikh Habibullah Ta'ala on tonight's lesson. He began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking refuge in Allah from the evil of our deeds. Whomsoever Allah guides, there's none to guide him astray, and whomsoever Allah leads astray, there's no guide for him. We bear witness that there's no deity worthy of worship except Allah. He is alone and he has no partners. And to him belongs the dominion, and he is able to do all things. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one that Allah sent as a mercy to mankind. He gave the message, he fulfilled the trust, and he was sincere for his ummah, and he fought in the way of Allah, a true fighting. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. May Allah be pleased with his companions, those who believed in the Prophet Muhammad and fought beside him, and migrated with him and migrated to him, and they spent their wealth and their lives for the purpose of Islam. May Allah be pleased with them and make us from amongst those to say, O Allah, forgive us and our brothers who have preceded us in faith, and do not create and do not place in our chest any dislike and hatred for the believers. So we ask Allah to make us from amongst them. Then the Shaykh mentioned tonight's lesson is about the Sirat, which is the bridge which is extended over the hellfire. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, Shaykh al-Islam Ahmed ibn Abdul Hanim Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned about this bridge, and he mentioned that it is extended over the hellfire. And the Shaykh mentioned that it is incumbent for everyone to pass over this bridge, whether this person is going to be punished or whether mercy is going to be shown to this person. And he said, we ask Allah to make us from amongst those that mercy is shown to. And he mentioned the people of taqwa, the people of faith, those who are sincere. They would cross over this bridge very quickly. Yeah, those who would cross over this bridge like the winking of an eye. And he mentioned, Habibullah Ta'ala, that the wink of an eye is faster than the speed of light. So you have those that would pass over the bridge like the wink or the blink of an eye. And you have those that would pass over the bridge the speed of lightning. You have those that would pass over the bridge the speed of a strong wind. You have those that would pass over the bridge the speed of a strong horse. You have those that would pass over the bridge the speed of someone riding a camel. And the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala. Naam, and then after that you have those that would walk over the bridge, those that would run, those that would walk, and those that would crawl. And the Shaykh Habib Allah Ta'ala mentioned those that were mentioned previously, the blink of an eye, the speed of lightning, the strong wind, the strong horse, the individual riding the camel, the individual running, the individual walking. Those are the individuals that would pass over the bridge. And then you have those people that would crawl. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that there are hooks that would grab these individuals and pull them into the hellfire. And the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala that these hooks, they were mentioning a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that these hooks are similar to the thorns, and if I'm not mistaken, of the long thorns of a cactus. And it was mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this type of plant or this type of tree that grows in the desert, and to the best of my knowledge, it is that which we call a cactus. And he mentioned the fact that if a person gets caught on a cactus, they can't remove themselves, except it's very difficult for them to remove themselves. And the point is that if an individual is caught by one of the hooks which is on this bridge, that the individual would not be able to free themselves and they would fall into the hellfire. And then the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala the importance of being from amongst the sabiqoon, those who are at the forefront in their deeds and their actions. They would have ease in crossing over this bridge. But everyone has to cross over it, as is mentioned by Allah in the Quran, that there's none from amongst you. There's a verse in the Quran, وَإِنْ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا. There's none from amongst you except that they must cross it. So this shows that everyone has to cross over this bridge. And those people who succeed in crossing over this bridge, they will enter into paradise. But before they enter into paradise, there's a place that everyone must stand. And this is a wide area that the people must stand. And this is the place where people would receive their rights from others. The individual who was oppressed, he would receive his rights from the person who oppressed him. And the Shaykh mentioned that he's mentioned this in a previous lesson, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who is the poor person from amongst you? And they said, the poor person is the one who has no wealth. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, the poor person is the one who has many deeds, but he has oppressed. So he would come on a day of judgment, and he has oppressed this person and harmed this person. So the people would take from his deeds until he has no more deeds remaining. And the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, so if you have oppressed the people with your speech, or if you have harmed the people with your hands, you hit someone or you killed someone, these people will take from your good deeds. The people who you have oppressed, they will take from your good deeds. Because there is no oppression on this day. And verily Allah Azza wa Jal is the judge. And if the person on this particular day when his good deeds are being taken from, if the person tries to deny that he has wronged others with his hands or with his tongue, Allah Ta'ala would seal his mouth and his skin would speak. And his hands would speak. So his limbs would speak against him and they would testify that he has wronged others. And the people would take from his deeds. And the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, then after this has taken place, and the people are purified. And the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, this is related to the rights of the people. The rights that people have over you in terms of their wealth, in terms of debts, in terms of you dishonoring them, and the likes, this will not be forgiven. This has to be reckoned between the people. But in terms of the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal, this person is under the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. And it took place that an individual approached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and mentioned, if I fought in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal and I was killed, would I enter into Jannah? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes. And the man walked away. And then the man returned. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, bring him to me. And the man returned, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, you will enter Jannah, everything would be forgiven for the person that fights in the way of Allah and is killed, the martyr. Every sin would be forgiven for the martyr except the debt. Jibreel just informed me. So the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, so the rights as it relates to wealth and as it relates to honor, these things are not forgiven. The people will take from your deeds. Then the Shaykh said, Habib Allah Ta'ala, that if the person who has oppressed others, if all of his good deeds are taken from, and there remains no more good deeds for this individual, but he still has people that he has oppressed by way of his tongue or by way of his hands, then what is the case? The Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, that if no more good deeds remain with that individual who has oppressed others, then he will take from their bad deeds. He will receive bad deeds from the people that he has oppressed. Then he went on to mention that once this takes place, the people will enter into Jannah. And those who, because of this reckoning, some people have to enter into the hellfire for purification, and they will do so, or this is done. Then the first person to knock on the door of Jannah would be the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the first people to enter into paradise would be the followers of the Prophet Muhammad, his ummah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, we are the last in this life. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we are the last, but we will be the first. Meaning we are the last in this life, but we will be the first to enter into Jannah on the day of judgment. Then he mentioned Habibullah Ta'ala, that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned in brief the intercessions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet has three. The first intercession is for the people that are standing on the day of judgment. The Shaykh mentioned Habibullah Ta'ala that all of the people will be standing, the believers and the disbelievers. And he said they would be standing in a vast, broad area, and the sun would be brought close to them, and people would be standing in their sweat. And he said from that which Allah decrees on this day, that people would be standing in their sweat, and their sweat would not harm another individual. Some people would be standing in their sweat, and their sweat would reach up to their mouth. And someone will be standing, and their sweat reaches up to their necks. And others will be standing, and their sweat reaches up to their waist, and the likes. And some are less than that. And this is the believers and the disbelievers. And they will be standing for a long period of time. One day is like 1,000 years. And they become very worried. And they are fearful of this standing. So they approach Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, the father of mankind, and they say, you are the father of mankind. Allah created you with His hand, and Allah ordered the angels to prostrate to you, and Allah accepted your repentance. So intercede for us so that the reckoning can begin. And Adam alayhi salatu wasalam would say, no, I cannot. I disobeyed my Lord and I ate from the forbidden tree. But go to Nuh, and Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam is also called the father, because after Allah destroyed His people, the only people that were on the face of the earth were the people of Nuh. So the people, they approach Nuh and they say to Nuh, please request from your Lord to begin the reckoning. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam would say, no, I cannot. I supplicated against my people that Allah destroy them. Go to Ibrahim, the father of the Anbiya, Abu al-Anbiya, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So they go to Ibrahim and they request the same from Ibrahim. And Ibrahim says, I can't, I lied three times. The first time Ibrahim lied when he was a young boy, and he wanted to destroy the idols. So his people, they were going to a gathering. So they said to Ibrahim, come. And he said, no, I'm not feeling well. So he said to them, I'm not feeling well. So he didn't tell the truth, because he wanted to destroy the idols. And then when they went away, he came to the idols, and there was some food there. And he said, why don't you eat the food? And then Ibrahim destroyed all of the idols except one. He left the big one, and he put the axe or the hammer in his hand, or next to him. And then when the people returned, they said, who destroyed our idols? And Ibrahim said, it was the large one. Ask him if he could respond to you. Ask him if he could respond to you. This was the second lie. Then the third lie was the time that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was with his wife, and he had entered into a land which had an oppressive ruler. He entered into a land that had an oppressive ruler. And that ruler was the type of ruler that if a woman entered into his land, and if she was with her husband, he would kill her husband, he would take the wife, the woman. But if she was with her father or her brother, he would allow them to live. Her father or her brother, he would allow them to live, but he would still bring the woman to him. So this happened with Ibrahim, and Ibrahim said to this ruler, she is my sister. And he said to his wife, don't say that I have lied, for verily you are my sister, because we are the only believers present on the face of the earth. Then the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala mentioned that this story is in Sahih Bukhari and other than Sahih Bukhari. And it's mentioned that the wife of Ibrahim was brought to this woman. The wife of Ibrahim was brought to the ruler. And when the ruler tried to touch her, she supplicated to Allah and he became unconscious. Then she feared that if his people came and see him unconscious, they would think that she has harmed him. So she supplicated to Allah to bring him, wake him up. So when he woke up, he tried to reach his hand to her again,
and she supplicated to Allah to protect her, and he became unconscious again. Then she once again felt that if the people find him unconscious, they would think that she harmed him. So she supplicated to Allah to bring him up once again. Then he tried to reach his hand for the third time, and she supplicated to Allah to protect her from him, and he became unconscious for a third time. Then she felt that if I leave him this way, the people would think that I have harmed him. So she supplicated to Allah, and Allah brought him conscious once again. Then he said to his people, "You have not brought me a woman, you have brought me a shaitana." So this was, Allah had protected the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Then he said, the ruler said, "This woman cannot serve herself." So he gave her a slave girl. He gave her as a gift a slave girl, and he said, "Remove her from my company and let her have this slave girl." And the slave girl was Hajar, who was the mother of, thereafter would be the mother of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. So this was that which Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned. Then they would go to Musa. So Ibrahim said, "I cannot." So the people approach Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and Musa, he apologizes and said, "I cannot. I killed Al-Qutbi." He killed one of the people from the followers of Fir'aun. So he said, "I cannot." He tells them to go to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and Isa alayhi salatu wasalam does not mention anything that he did wrong. He said, "But it's not my position to do so. Go to Muhammad. He is the prophet that Allah has forgiven all of his sins." So the people approach Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "It is for me to intercede." And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam approaches the throne of Allah azza wa jalla, and he prostrates. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, I supplicate and I praise Allah with statements that I did not remember in the worldly life. When I was in the world, I did not remember that I supplicated to Allah with this supplication and with this praise of Allah. Then Allah azza wa jalla would say, "O Muhammad, raise your head." Then Allah azza wa jalla would say, "O Muhammad, raise your head. Ask and I will answer. Say and I will listen. Intercede and I will accept your intercession." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam intercedes for the people, that the reckoning begins. And this intercession was specifically for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is for no one else. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has a second intercession, and it is that the people of enter the people of Jannah, that they enter into the people of Jannah. Then there's a third reckoning of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is for the people that they deserve to enter into the hellfire. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam supplicates and he intercedes that they do not enter the hellfire, but instead they enter into Jannah. And the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, that the intercession, whether for the Prophet or whether for anyone else, the intercession is not accepted by Allah, except that Allah is pleased with the individual and Allah gives his permission. So intercession is not just for anyone. It is only for the people that Allah is pleased with and the people that Allah gives his permission to Baraka Ta'ala. Then the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, that Allah gives intercession to other people as well. As Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, or that Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, the fact that he is all forgiving, that Allah does not forgive that partners are set up with him, and he forgives other than that to whom he wills. So Allah Ta'ala blesses the people and they intercede for others. And there are some people that would enter the hellfire, and Allah gives permission for people to take them out of the hellfire. This is also one of the intercessions. And then the Shaykh mentioned, Hafiz Allah Ta'ala, the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, that the hellfire has been created. Allah created the hellfire for it to take all of the people who have wronged, and all of the people who have disobeyed Allah, and all of the people who have committed shirk and kufr and the likes. The hellfire is big enough for these individuals, and it will continue to request from Allah, "Is there more? Hal min mazid? Are there any more? Are there any more?" Until it fills. And when the hellfire is filled, Allah Ta'ala, it would say, "Qat, qat, I am full, I am full." And then Allah Ta'ala would place his foot over the hellfire, and no one else would enter into the hellfire. And then Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned that these are the categories of the people of the hereafter. and the reckoning and the reward and the punishment about the hellfire and about the paradise. And this, the specifics about this have been mentioned in the books that have been revealed from Allah Azza wa Jal to His prophets, like the Suhuf, the pages of Ibrahim, and like the Torah, and like the Injil, and the pages of Dawood. And likewise, it has been mentioned in the Quran, and it has been mentioned in the authentic Sunnah of our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يقول السائل إذا ظلمت شخصا وتبت إلى الله عز وجل فهل يغفر الله ذلك الذنب أو ذلك الظلم أو هل لابد أن أذهب إلى الشخص وأستعذن منه؟
إذا أذنب الإنسان إذا كان الذنب بينه وبين الله جل وعلا لا علاقة له بالناس فالتوبة تمحو الصادقة وأما إذا كان الذنب يتعلق بآخرين وهو ظلم بدون شك النبي صلى الله جل وعلا يقول يا عبادي إني حرمت الظلم على نفسي وجعلته بينكم محرما فلا تظالموا فإذا تاب الإنسان بالذنب اللي بينه وبين ربه تكفيه التوبة وأما إذا تاب من الذنب الذي ارتكبه مع أحد من الناس فما كان من ذلك الذنب حقا لله يعفوه الله بالتوبة وما لم يكن لله وإنما للعبد فإنه لا بد من المقاضاة كما قال النبي في الحديث اللي مر إلا الدين فإنه أخبر به أنه لكن إذا كانت الحسنات كثيرة للذي أساء وظلم ثم تاب كفوا أعمال صالحة كثيرة يعفو الله عنه بسبب الحسنات الكثيرة كما في قصة أبي ذر مر علينا كثيرا لما قال من مات لا يشرك بالله شيئا دخل الجنة قال أبو ذر وإن زنى وإن سرق فكررها ثلاث مرات كلها يقول النبي وإن زنى وإن سرق فحق العبد إن شاء الله واحد به وإن شاء عفى عنه وحق الله إن كان شمل بالتوبة فهو معفو عنه.
The individual is asking if they have oppressed someone and they repent to Allah, is the repentance expiation? And the Shaykh mentioned, Habibullah Ta'ala, if an individual committed a sin and the sin was between the individual and Allah and they have not wronged anyone in doing the sin, then the repentance would be an expiation, the true repentance, the sincere repentance would be an expiation, as long as they have not oppressed anyone else. Because the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah said, إِنِّي حَرَّمْتُ الظُّلْمَ عَلَى نَفْسِي وَجَعَلْتُهُ بَيْنَكُمْ مَحَرَّمًا فَلَا تَظَالِمُ. Verily, I have forbidden oppression for myself, and I have made it forbidden amongst you, so do not oppress one another. So the Shaykh mentioned, so if the person sinned and no one is involved in that sin, it's between them and Allah, then the repentance is an expiation. But if the sin is you have oppressed someone and you have taken their rights, then the rights have to be returned. Like it was mentioned in the hadith. Then the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, like it was mentioned in the lesson. Then he said, but if the person has a lot of good deeds, a tremendous amount of good deeds, and they have wronged someone, or they have oppressed someone, but this person has a tremendous amount of good deeds, then inshallah Allah would overlook that and the person would enter into paradise because of his tremendous amount of good deeds. This is As is in the hadith of Abu Dharr that we've mentioned, that the Sheikh mentioned in previous lessons, that the person that bears witness that there's no deity worthy of worship except Allah, that the Prophet ﷺ is the Messenger of Allah, would enter paradise even if they have fornicated and stolen. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned this 3 times. So the Shaykh mentioned Habibullah ta'ala, so if the sin is between you and Allah, the repentance is an expiation. But if the sin is between you and an individual, then it's incumbent that you seek their pardon. But if the person has a tremendous amount of good deeds, they will eventually enter into paradise. يقول السائل كيف يخرج المرء كيف يخرج المرء الرياء من قلبه وكيف يكون من وكيف يكون من الصادقين.
أولا يستعيذ بالله جل وعلا من الرياء ومن سائر الذنوب، يسأل ربه أن يعيذه من هذا الرياء، ثم وهو يعمل تقوى العبادة يحرص على أن يتصور أن من يراعيهم ويحب أن يعرف عنه أنه كذا وأنه كذا لا يمكن أن ينفعوه كما لا يمكن أن يضروه، والأمر كله لله جل وعلا، إن أرادوا مضرته ما ضروه إلا إذا كان الله قضى بذلك، وإن أرادوا أن ينفعوه ما استطاعوا إلا إذا كان الله قدر ذلك. يعود نفسه بصفة مستمرة، هذا العمل ينبغي أن يكون لله، وأن لا يدخله شيء من الرغبات برياء ونحوه، ويكثر بأن يسأل ربه أن يعينه على تلافي واجتناب ذلك الرياء.
Individuals asking, how can I be from amongst the sincere and how can I remove pride from my heart? And the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, that you should seek refuge in Allah from pride and showing off and all other types of sins. And you should likewise, when you intend to do an action, you should keep in mind and have certainty that the individuals that see you, the individuals that you want to show off to, these people cannot benefit you nor can they harm you. The affair is only for Allah. If Allah wants to benefit you, you will benefit. And if Allah wants to harm you, you will be harmed. And those people have no ability in the affair. So the individual must condition himself to constantly bring himself to account for his deeds. And he should understand that the deeds should be done solely for Allah Azza wa Jal. And he should not have any type of desire for showing off or pride in the affair, and the individual should ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make him from the sincere. Now, an individual sent a question and said that I mistakenly said that Allah will say qat qat. No, it's the hellfire. It's the hellfire that says qat qat. يقول السائل هل يجوز لي أن أشتري زيت قرئ عليه من أحد القراء من أجل الرقية؟
الرقية السليمة أن تكون من الراقي إلى المرضي عليه بدون استعمال ماء أو زيت أو غير ذلك. والزيت أيضا من أنواع الأدوية، إذا قرئ فيها قد يظن الشخص أن هذا الذي حصل له من الخير سببه القاري،
ينبغي أن يحرص على أن تكون الرقية مباشرة من الراقي للمرضي.
Individuals asking, is it permissible for me to buy and use the oil which Rukia is read over and for the purpose of which Quran is read over for the purpose of Rukia? The Sheikh mentioned, Habibullah Ta'ala, the correct form of Rukia is that the person who is reciting reads directly over the person who has the illness. And the Rukia is not done by usage of water or oil. And he said that oil, or some forms of oil, they are used for medicine, but it's possible that a person might recite over some oil, and the person uses it, and they think that the reason why they've been cured is because of the recitation, but it's not, it's the oil, because it's a form of medicine. So the Sheikh said, Habibullah Ta'ala, it's befitting that the Rukia is done straight from the one who is reciting, directly to the one who has the illness, and that other things are not used in between. يقول السائل بالنسبة للجسر الذي الجسر المعلق على متن جهنم أو المنسوب على متن جهنم هل يمر على الجسر كفار أو فقط مسلمون؟
هذا الجسر لا سبيل إلى الجنة ولا إلى النار إلا بالسير على هذا الجسر المنزلق، فيمر معه المؤمن والكافر. المؤمن كالذي مر في الأوصاف المأخوذة من أخبار النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، يعني هذا الجسر، وتصور الخلائق اللي سوف تمر وما مقدار هذا الجسر، وهو بين الجنة والنار، ما مقدار النار والجنة، ويمر فوق هذا الجسر تلك الخلائق. أهل الخير الفائزون بالتقدم في كل شيء يمر أحدهم كلمح البصر، ولمح البصر من تلمح من أبعد مكان يصل إلى البصر لا يستغرق شيء يذكر، ثم كالبرق يعني كسرعة الضوء، ثم كجياد الخيل المضمرة المسرعة، ثم الركاب الإبل أيضا الرواحل، ثم العدل يجري الإنسان عدوا، ثم الشيء، ثم يحبو يزحف. فنسأل الله أن يسهل لنا جميعا طريق الجنة ويجرنا من العوائق.
The individual is asking with regards to the bridge which is to the bridge which is over the hellfire, is it only for the believers or also for the disbelievers? The Sheikh mentioned, Habibullah Ta'ala, the bridge which is extended over the hellfire, there's no path to Jannah nor to the hellfire except that you cross this bridge, which indicates that the believers and the disbelievers will cross over this bridge, like it was described by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of the creation would go over this bridge, and imagine the size, the amounts of people, and the fact that the bridge is extended over the hellfire, imagine the size of the hellfire. And the people, all of creation will go over this bridge. You have those who were good, those who were successful in this life, they would go over like the blink of an eye, and that's very quick. And those after them, they would go over like lightning, like the wind, like the strong horse, like the riding of a camel, those running, those walking. And then the Shaykh mentioned, Habibullah Ta'ala, we ask Allah Ta'ala to make our path easier for us to Jannah. We ask Allah Ta'ala to deter us from that which would hinder us in crossing this bridge. يقول السائل هناك مسجد لعله يقصد خارج البلد هناك مسجد يؤخرون صلاة الجمعة وخطبة الجمعة فهل من نصيحة لهؤلاء الذين يؤخرون خطبة الجمعة وصلاة الجمعة؟
ينبغي للمسلم أن يعرف سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم يحرص أن يؤدي هذه العبادة وفق ما كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يؤديها، فإنه عليه الصلاة والسلام فيما يتعلق بالجمعة لا ينام الناس القيلولة، القيلولة يحتاج إليها أصحاب العمل الكثير، والناس مع النبي في وقت ذلك الوقت صلوات الله وسلامه عليه أهل العمل زراع وراثي العغلة ما كانوا ينامون القيلولة إلا بعد صلاة الجمعة، وهم ما كانوا ينامون بعد صلاة الفجر، صلى الفجر لم ينام، وإنما هذا طرأ على الناس. السنة أن تصلى الجمعة في أول وقت الظهر. الذي قال إذا جاء وقت الحر فأبردوا بصلاة الظهر، هذا هو المقصود بذلك صلاة الظهر، وأما الجمعة فالناس يجتمعون من الصباح في الغالب في المسجد، ويحرص على أن تؤدى الصلاة في الوقت المباشر له حتى ينصرف الناس من الجمعة من بعد صلاة الجمعة يسعون في سبيل الله في أرض الله لطلب رزق الله.
Individuals asking, there's a masjid that they delay the Friday prayer. What is your advice for them? And the Sheikh mentioned, Habibullah Ta'ala, it's befitting that the people learn the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and then they're diligent in adhering to it. The people during the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they used to take midday naps, and because they were people that used to work, they were farmers and they were guards and, you know, the likes. So these individuals used to work, so they used to take midday naps. They did not sleep after Salat al-Fajr. This is something which is more recent. During the time of the Prophet ﷺ, they did not sleep after Salat al-Fajr. So instead, they used to take midday naps. The Prophet ﷺ used to conduct the Jummah prayer in the early or the beginning time of Salat al-Dhuhr. The Prophet ﷺ said, if it becomes very hot, then you should pray Salat al-Dhuhr earlier. This is with regards to Salat al-Dhuhr. But with regards to Salat al-Jum'ah, the people used to gather in the masjid early in the morning. This is that which they used to do. So it's befitting that the people perform the Salat al-Jum'ah early, so that the people thereafter can go and spread throughout the earth and seek the provisions from Allah Azza wa Jalla. يقول السائل الذي خرج من دولة كافرة الذي هاجر من دولة كافرة ثم استقام في السعودية وحصل على إقامة رسمية فهل يعتبر مهاجر؟
حتى لو لم يعطى ترخيص أن يستمر فهو مهاجر. إذا كان يوم خرج من تلك البلاد الكافرة نيته أن يهاجر من بلاد الكفر إلى بلاد الإسلام فهو إن شاء الله على هذه النية، فإن تيسر له ما يعينه على الاستمرار فهذا من فضل الله.
Individuals asking if someone left the land of disbelief and they migrated to Saudi Arabia and they got a residency permit which is إقامة, are they considered someone who has migrated? The Sheikh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, even if they did not receive the permanent residence, they are still considered someone who has migrated. He said the day that they left the disbelieving land, if their intention was that they are migrating, then this individual is a migrator. And if the Sheikh mentioned, and if they can, if Allah decrees that they can obtain the permanent residency card, then this is something good. what the affair is based on their intention when they left their land. يقول السؤال متى يجب على الولد متى يجب على الولد أن يصلي الصلوات الخمسة في المسجد في أي سن؟
النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام يقول مروا أولادكم بالصلاة لسبع يعني إذا أكمل الولد سبع سنين وجب على أهله أن يأمروه لكن بدون تشديد إذا تم أكمل العشر يؤمر وإذا لم يستجب يضرب لكن ضرب لا يكسر عظما ولا يشق جدا إذا كان يؤمن عليه ولا يخشى عليه فينبغي أن يحرص على صلاته في المسجد من حين إكماله السن السابعة.
Individuals asking when is it obligatory for the boy to begin to pray in the masjid? Sheikh said, Habib Allah Ta'ala, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, order your children to pray when they reach the age of seven. So when the child reaches the age of seven, they should be ordered to pray. And you should not order them, you should not be staunch when you and stern when you order them. And then the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, and hit them when they reach the age of 10. So when they reach the age of 10, they are to be hit if they don't pray. But the Shaykh said, Habibullah Ta'ala, but you shouldn't give them an injury, you shouldn't break their bones and the likes of that. Then the Shaykh said, if you don't fear for the child, you don't fear for the safety of the child, as soon as the child reaches the age, the boy, as soon as the boy reaches the age of 7, you should order him to pray in the masjid, as long as you don't fear for his safety. يقول السائل ما يعني يسأل عن كيفية الأذان يسأل عن كيفية الأذان والمؤذن أين يضع يديه إذا أذن للصلاة
نحضر المسجد وانظر إلى المؤذن الذي يؤذن كيف يؤدي هذا الأذان ثم بعد أن انتهى من الأذان إلى أين يتجه لأن تصور العبادة تصورها في العمل في عمل تؤدى به يكون أثبت للذهن لكن مجمل ذلك أن المؤذن إذا أراد أن يبدأ بالأذان السنة أن يتوجه إلى القبلة يستقبل القبلة السنة أن يبدأ بالتكبير الله أكبر ويرفع صوته كبر أربع مرات ثم يشهد أن لا إله إلا الله مرتين ثم يشهد أن محمد رسول الله مرتين ثم يبدأ بالنداء للناس أن يحضروا حي على الصلاة معنى حي أي هلموا وأقبلوا على الصلاة حي على الله مرتين حي على الصلاة مرتين حي على الفلاح لأن الفلاح هو الغبطة والسرور والارتياح وتصور تحصيل المراد من الوصول إلى إرضاء الله جل وعلا بهذه العبادة فهو خير عظيم ثم يختم الذكر بالتكبير والتهليل لا شك أن التكبير والتهليل أعلى مراتب الأذكار الله أكبر من كل شيء والله لا إله إلا هو هذا مجمل ما يتعلق بهذا
سنة لمن استمع للمؤذن سمع أن يقول مثل ما يقول المؤذن حتى يأتي إلى حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح، وهي نداء يعني أقبله يناسب أن يقول السامع لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. يعني أنا أريد ذلك لكن الحول بيد الله.
Individuals asking on how to call the adhan, and the Sheikh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala. If you go to the masjid, you should see how the adhan is being called, because when an individual sees the act of worship, it remains with them longer. And then the Sheikh Habib Allah Ta'ala mentioned, but in summary, that which the individual does is that the sunnah is that the person calling the adhan faces the qibla. And then they say Allahu Akbar 4 times. And then they say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah twice. They say Ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah twice. Then they say Hayya 'alas Salah. Come to the prayer, come to the prayer. Come to the success, come to the success. And then the Shaykh mentioned, Hafizullah Ta'ala, they should keep in mind that you are doing this for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. You're doing this to seek the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then they ended with the takbir and the tahleel, which is La ilaha illallah. And the Shaykh said, there's no doubt that the takbir and the tahleel, this is the greatest form of supplicating to Allah Azza wa Jal. Then the Shaykh said, and as for the person that hears the adhan being called, the person should say the same as the muaddin, the one that's calling the adhan. But when they hear, come to the prayer, come to the success, they should say La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. The Shaykh said this is the most, this is the adhan in summary. يقول السائل هل يجوز للمظلوم أن يجهر ويعلن عن من ظلمه أمام الناس؟
إذا لم يتيسر له تحصيل حقه إلا بذلك جاز له، بشرط أن لا يزيد بما ينسبه إلى الظالمة، لا يزيد على المظلمة بشيء لم يحصل.
Individuals asking, is it permissible to make public someone who's been oppressed? He publicly announces who has oppressed him. And the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, if it's not possible for you to get your rights from this individual except by doing so, then it's permissible for you to do so. But you should not increase and exaggerate and mention things that you have not been oppressed in that regard. So you should limit it only to that which the individual has actually oppressed you in. يقول هل يجوز للمسلم أن يدعو على الظالم على من ظلمه؟
يجوز بشرط أن لا يزيد في دعائه عليه بأكثر مما حصل لك من الضرر، فإن العدل مطلوب. لا يحب الله جار بالسوء قل إلا من ظلم، إذا كان مظلوما.
The person mentions, is it permissible for the person who is oppressed to supplicate against the one who has oppressed them? The Shaykh said it is permissible with the condition that you don't increase in your supplication and go beyond the bounds of that which you've been oppressed in. And the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala because it's incumbent upon you to be just. And he mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal that Allah does not love that a person makes public their complaints except those who have been oppressed. يقول السائل هل صحيح أو هل صحيح أن حاجر كانت جارية لأنه قرأ لأن الكاتب السؤال قرأ أنها كانت أميرة أو ملكة لمالك مصر؟
هاجر كانت مملوكة جارية يعني مملوكة للملك الذي مر به إبراهيم عليه السلام، ولما حاول أن يمس سارة
وحصل له ما سمعتم من أن الصرع ثلاث مرات علم أنه لا مجال له أن يحصل مراده، فأهداها تلك الجارية لتخدمها، فوهبتها رضي الله عنها لإبراهيم عليه السلام، فحملت بأبي العرب إسماعيل عليه السلام.
Person is saying, is it confirmed that Hajar was a slave girl? Because the person has read that she wasn't a slave girl. And the Sheikh mentioned, Habibullah Ta'ala, no, she was a slave girl. She was a slave. She was a slave female for the king that Ibrahim had entered into his land, as it was mentioned in the story. And when this king tried to touch Sarah, the wife of Ibrahim, it took place that he became unconscious three times, like the Sheikh mentioned in the story, Habibullah Ta'ala. So when the king realized that he could not touch Sarah, he gave her a gift, and that was Hajar. And Sarah gave Hajar to Ibrahim, and later on she became pregnant with Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. هل تدخل الملائكة بيتا فيه سور في الكتب الدراسية؟
الملائكة لا تدخل مكانا فيه كلب ولا صورة، والمقصود بالصورة تلك التي تصور إما بالريشة بالقلم أو بالتطريز بالخياطة أو بالصياغة أو بالنحت من الحجارة والأحشاب، هذه التي تعمل من تفكير المصور. الملائكة لا تدخل بيتا في هذه الأشياء، وأنا أرجو أن ما يكون في مثل ما يحصل في جرائد صحف كذا، أرجو الله جل وعلا أن لا يكون ذلك مقصودا، وإلا يترتب عليها أن تحول بيوت عامة الناس من المسلمين من دخول الملائكة.
Individuals asking, do the angels enter into the homes that have pictures in the educational books and the likes? And the Sheikh said, Habibullah Ta'ala, that the angels do not enter a place, a home that has a dog or a picture. And what is intended by a picture is that which is drawn with the hand, or that which is drawn by way of stitching, that which is designed, an actual picture by way of stitching, or that which is carved in the wood. All of these things, which is the work of the artist himself, the angels do not enter into those homes. The Sheikh said, but I hope that which is present in the newspaper, the digital pictures and the likes, I hope that this doesn't fall under that, because if that was the case, then most, if not all of the houses of the Muslims would be fall under that hadith. تقول المرأة هل يجوز أو ما نصيحتكم للرجل إذا غضب من امرأته يكلمها بألفاظ ليست من الدين ويقول لها أنت تعتقدين أنك من أحسن الناس أو أنك فوق الناس ونحو ذلك، فما نصيحتكم لهذا الرجل؟
ينبغي للرجل أن يحسن إلى زوجته، والنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أوصى بالنساء في مرض موته الذي مات فيه، قال استوصوا بالنساء خيرا، وقال خيركم لأهله. ينبغي للمسلم أن يأخذ بوصايا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما يتعامل به مع امرأته، وأن لا يقبح وجها وأن لا يضربها مع وجه وأن يحرص على أن يتسامح عنها إلا فيما كان من المحرمات. الذي قال أن المرأة خلقت من ضلع آدم، وإن أعوج ما في الضلع أعلاه، وإنك إن ذهبت تقيمها، أردت أن تعدل هذا الضلع على طبيعته الاعوجاج كسرتها وكسرها طلاقها، وإن استمتعت بها استمتعت بها وفيها عوج. يقول في حديث آخر: لا يفرك مؤمن مؤمنة، يعني لا يبغض، إن سحط منها خلق رضي خلقا آخر. إذا أغضبت الواحد امرأته فليفكر ما لها حسنات، ما كانت لبقة رفيقة به تحسن معاملته، تقدم له ما يطلبه منها مما يسرها أن ترضيه به إلى غير ذلك. ينبغي للرجل أن يحسن إلى زوجته.
The person is asking, what is your advice for a man that when he becomes upset with his wife, he speaks to her in a manner which is not befitting? He says to her, you think that you're better than others, you think that you are the best and the likes. The Sheikh said, Habibullah Ta'ala, it is befitting upon a man to be kind to his wife. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said during his sickness that he actually died because of that sickness. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said during that sickness, I advise you with regards to your treatment of the women. The Prophet ﷺ likewise said, be kind to the women. Likewise, the Prophet ﷺ said, the best of you is the best to his family. So it is befitting that the person takes the advice of the Prophet ﷺ with regards to the treatment of the women. And the Prophet ﷺ said, you should not hit her in the face if you strike her and the likes. So the Shaykh said, it is befitting and it is upon the man to overlook the faults of the women, except if she falls into something haram. And he said, Habib Allah Ta'ala, that the woman, that the Prophet ﷺ said, the woman has been created from a crooked rib, a bent rib, the rib of Adam ﷺ. And the most crooked part of her is the top. If you try, the Prophet ﷺ said, if you try to straighten her, you will break her. And if you leave her, she will remain crooked or bent. And if you break her, this is that you would divorce her. And he mentioned, the Shaykh mentioned another hadith that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that you should not strongly dislike her. If you see something within her that you dislike, you should look towards something that you like within her. So the Shaykh said, so it is a befitting that a man, when his wife makes him upset, he should think, does she have things that I like? Does she have things that I'm pleased with? Is she not gentle to me? Doesn't she do things for me that I'm pleased with, things that I request from her? This is that which the man should be upon, and this is how the man should treat his wife.
ولعلنا نختفي بهذه الأسئلة لذاتنا هذا، وأسأل الله جل وعلا بأسمائه وصفاته أن يجعل عملنا جميعا خالصا لوجه الله مقبولا عنده، وأن نكون في ذلك محسنين اتباع محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم كما أسأله بأسمائه وصفاته، أن يصلح حالنا وحال ذرياتنا وأحبابنا وخراباتنا والمسلمين في كل مكان، وأن يجيرنا من الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن، وأن ينصر الحق وأهله ويذل الباطل وأهله، وأن يعاجل بالفرج عباده المظلومين في الشام وفي غير الشام، في فلسطين وفي شرق آسيا وفي غير ذلك، في أي أرض من أرض الله جل وعلا يظلم فيها المسلمون. أسأله بأسمائه وصفاته أن يمدهم بالنصر والصبر والتوفيق والتوبة إليه جل وعلا، كما نسأله جل وعلا بأسمائنا أن يحفظ على هذه البلاد، بلادنا المملكة، أمنها على دينها ودنياها، وأن يجيرها ما يسميه الغرب الربيع العربي، أن يجيرها من هذا الربيع ويأتي هذا الخير الكثير من الله، فإنه ربيع إنما هي أعاصير فتن
ورياح شر وبلاء، فنسأل الله أن يجيرنا ويجير بلاد المسلمين كلها من ذلك، كما نسأله جل وعلا لمصر أن يوفقهم الله جل وعلا لتولية أصلحهم وأتقاهم وأنفعهم لبلاد مصر في أمر الإسلام وفي شعب مصر فيما يتعلق بعيشه، كما نسأله سبحانه أن يسقي رياح الفتن يسكنها ويزيلها ويحل محلها رياح العفو والرحمة والغفران، إنه جل وعلا مجيب الدعاء. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.
The Sheikh said that we would suffice with those amounts of questions, and we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make our actions sincerely for His face and to accept our deeds, and we ask Allah Ta'ala to make us from amongst those who correctly follow the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We ask Allah to correct our affairs and the affairs of our children and family. We ask Allah to protect us from all evils. We ask Allah Ta'ala to support the truth and to debase the evil. We ask Allah Ta'ala to give prompt ease to the people, or quick ease to the people in Syria, the people in Palestine, and other Muslim lands. And ask Allah Ta'ala with His names and attributes to give the people patience, those who are being oppressed, patience, and to give them victory and to give them success. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to protect us from the Arab Spring, which it is not an Arab Spring, but it is winds of fitna and tribulation and calamity. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to give the people of Egypt the success to choose someone who is God-fearing and will benefit them in their Islam and their worldly affairs. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to remove all the winds of fitna and to make them winds of mercy and forgiveness. And our last supplication, all praise be to Allah, the Lord of the world, and the peace and blessings of Allah be upon our Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his family and companions.